Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, it is a week past Easter, and it has been one incredible week. We've had the 80s and weather. The grass is turning absolutely green. It has been, without a doubt, dry week, but with this weekend with rain, hopefully that helps that and gets things back on track. And we're obviously, the Lord is in control of all of that at the same time. But we just, what a blessing to be in the state of Iowa at this time. I just encourage you folks, as you're traveling, many of you even today are traveling down the highway and to a location and stuff like that. And don't you love living in Iowa at this time? But as you're traveling today, I want to thank you for listening, number one, for listening to Vital Ministries and turning it on. I hope we got a great teaching today, and I hope you don't change that dial to keep listening to us this morning. But those of us that live in the state and we get on these rural roads in Iowa and stuff, these farmers are trying to get the crops in. And I just want to, again, encourage people, be patient. These guys with these tractors, they got heavy equipment. It can only run 25, 30 miles max at the best. And they're just trying to get to the next field. And I encourage you, instead of being upset with them, wave at them. Man, farmers feed America, folks. And let's just be careful as we travel and as we pray for those guys and husbands and wives and kids doing just a great job. And we just want to give them a blessing today as they try to get the crop in, as they go about their life, what they do. Also, too many of you are on your way to church this morning. Again, we just want to extend out to you, just be safe. What a thankful time to go and be part of the church. As you're traveling this morning, that blessings will go there before you. And also, too, many of you say, Mike, Sunday morning, listening to you, this is my church. And again, I just want to thank you so much for listening to Vital Ministries here on KVOE 104.9 FM on your radio dial this morning. Just a few things. We are winding up Vital Men. We've got one more week. We'll start back up in the fall. But again, we're in four different locations. You can go to our Vital Ministries website. But one thing we do have continually going on is a devotional page, both for men and also for Vital Life. My wife is the writer for there, and we have five different men writing for Vital Men. And just what an encouragement that is. You can get that special nugget in the midst of your day, so you don't want to miss out on that at all. And we always take time in the summertime to just take breaks because there's such a busy time in the summer with folks and so many things. So we just don't want to add on to what's going on. But again, go to our Vital Ministries webpage for the different things that we're doing and specials that are going on. So just be paying attention to that as well. But, you know, we've been doing a teaching series on the King of Kings, and we finished that last week. And we are actually starting a new teaching series on who is Holy Spirit, that we should get some of the basic knowledge this morning to who he is and how he works. So it's going to be a lot of basic. We're going to create a basis for this next 5 weeks teaching, but it's going to be some really good stuff, folks. There are many misconceptions about the identity of the Holy Spirit. Some people view a Holy Spirit as a mystical force. Some would is it like the Star Wars, may the force be with you? Others see the Holy Spirit as impersonal, an impersonal power that God makes available only through the power of the followers of Jesus Christ. So what does the Bible say about the identity of the Holy Spirit? The Bible declares the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, not an it, being with a mind and emotions and with a will. Another misconception of this is the name of the Holy Spirit. Is it Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost? Which is correct? Both are. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit occurs 90 times in the King James Version, where it says Holy Ghost, and Holy Spirit only occurs 7 times in the King James Version. The King James Bible was translated in 1611. It was never intended that the ghost meant that the spirit of a deceased person. With recent translations we have today, spirit has replaced ghost. In the days of Shakespeare or King James, ghost meant the living essence of a person. So with the slight exceptions, ghost and spirit have changed places over the past years to 300 years, to which we see Holy Spirit being dominant over Holy Ghost. For the most part, only in churches or faith traditions abiding in the King James Version that we still see reference of Holy Ghost as to Holy Spirit. They are basically the same, and they both represent the third person of the Trinity. Ghost or spirit is co-equal and consubstantial with the Father and with the Son. I think it's always important for us to get a better biblical understanding of the wording in the Bible without getting into too theological in the midst of its meaning. Getting, for better words, I would say, getting too wordy, or even more so, speaking above the listener who's trying to hear. There's nothing more frustrating when, and I love being around people who are in depth theologically and also too of their terminology, but sometimes for us that we like the KISS system, that keeping it simple, I think that's where we're going to head today. We're going to keep things simple, keep things understanding, and understand who is Holy Spirit and how it works. But let's look at the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible, and that is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says that the earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, when I read this verse, I don't know about you, but it's hard to comprehend on how God created. We see this both formless and empty. Seems like nothing more than a big mass. Nothing but chaos is going on. To a point, there seems to be a point of just, again, a chaotic mess. But when you bring in the Spirit of God hovering over it, that brings peace in the midst of the confusion of the chaos. Let's look at another verse this morning in the Bible that represents the Holy Spirit. And that comes out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from the heavens and burned up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Inside the temple was a place at the time of the temple when King Solomon built the temple. Behind the curtain was a place called the Holy of Holies. Only the priests could go back there. They would literally, this is interesting, when the priests would go back, they would actually tie a rope on the ankle of the priest, because if he had sin and carried sin in it and was not atoned for, God would kill him back in the place of Holy Holies. I don't know about you, but that day God was honored that day with King Solomon and the people, and how they honored God himself. See, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God filled the temple. It was like smoke that was coming down to the room, not like the fake smoke that we see entertainers use, that they like to create a moment or something that is manufactured. But this was the real thing. God's fire. He was so excited about the temple that was being built that the fire came down from the sky. And it says in the Bible that the people went straight down to their faces in the ground and praised God for who he was. I don't know about you, but that would have been one incredible moment of how the Holy Spirit was working. But let's look at another reference about the Holy Spirit. That comes out of Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and on him the Spirit of God, descending like a dove, was aligning upon him. See, we see the Holy Spirit taking on a form like a dove and resting on Jesus. This portion of the Bible shows the Trinity of God, the Father speaking, Jesus in human form as the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven, literally resting on Jesus. What a great picture of a God that we serve, a triune God, and all are equal and all are one. But today we don't have to hear God speaking. We don't hear God speaking audibly, do we, from heaven? No. Nor does Jesus walk the earth. But what we do have is the Holy Spirit is everywhere, not limited like Jesus was to being at one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit has a different work. And these are the words that Jesus speaks at his John chapter 16, starting with verse 5. He says this, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not the one you are asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because of the ruler of this world has already been judged. A lot of stuff going on here, isn't there, folks? But there is so much more that I wanted to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and this is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on there. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time, but it's just, again, another reference. But this is really important to know, that the Holy Spirit comes for the church, not the world. I'm going to say that again. It's really important for us to know that the Holy Spirit comes for the church and not the world. This means his work is in and through the church today. That's what happened clear back in the book of Acts, and it also occurs for us today in of where we live. The Holy Spirit does not work as a vacuum, just as the Son of God had to have form in the body in order to work. So the Spirit needs a body to accomplish and to do the ministry that it's called to. And that body, folks, is the church, which is us. Our bodies as believers are his tools and his temple. Holy Spirit wants to use us to glorify Christ and to witness to the world. We'll get deeper into this, but the Holy Spirit indwells within us to reach others for Jesus Christ. That is really exciting and humbling at the same time, that God uses for us his glory. But I want to show you this morning. We got five things this morning that I really want to show you of how this Holy Spirit works in our lives and how I think we can understand him better and what he does. So back to the question, who is the Holy Spirit? We're going to see this morning, I'm going to give you five things that's going to help us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. Number one, the Holy Spirit comforts me. All of us need comforted by the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? He comforts us with loss of a loved one. He comforts us when tragedy strikes. He also comforts us with anxiety, stress, and depression. You know, I have a good friend of mine who was in a really bad accident. And both he and his wife and a son were in a horrible accident that happened. But this is what I really have seen in the midst of this man's life, of how the Holy Spirit is working. What God is doing, it seems in the darkness and the tragedies of what's happening. Yes, because of what happened, brokenness happened. This young man I'm sharing with you about broke his pelvis, and he had to get a hip replacement because of that. Also, too, his son had to be transported to Iowa City into the Children's Hospital, and God has been working in the midst of what's going on, and little step by step is helping this family to rely on the Holy Spirit and his power and the love of Jesus. See, it says this in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you like the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. See, Holy Spirit brings peace when all others fail. His peace is like a river or a storm or a stream. You ever gone to the Rocky Mountains before and you go and you see one of the places that I've always loved in the Rockies is Estes Park. It's just a beautiful location. And as you go through in Estes Park, there's a river, a stream that goes through. It's called the Big Thompson, and it goes through that area. But this is what I really like about this river, this stream, is there's something about that stream. When you stand beside it, there's something that's soothing. It creates peace. It creates tranquility as you just stand and watch it. It's just something. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is very much the same in doing that. See, it says this also too in John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. See, there was a lot that was coming down. There was comfort. These words brought comfort to Christ's disciples. How could they ever begin to remember and write down all that they had seen and all that they had witnessed of what Jesus did? But Jesus promised them that the Comforter would come and that would help them bring into their mind, into their eyes, and see the perspective of what was going on in Jesus' life and to be written down for us today so that we can read it and use it and apply it to our lives. That brought comfort to the disciples, and that also brings comfort to us. The Comforter has come. He is with us. He comforts us through the trials that go on our life, the struggles and the tragedies. But here's the second thing the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit reveals truth to me. See, the Holy Spirit will reveal truth in your life if you ask Him. Truth is brought to us in many ways. First, by reading the Bible, and also to the which is written truth. And the second is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We all want to know a truth. Man, what more today do we need to understand what truth is, isn't it? How can we go through and define and see what truth? This is what I know about truth, folks. The only truth that I truly believe and hold on to is what I read in God's Word, and also to by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. 13 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God." That means that anything that we do in our lives, God will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will reveal it to us. The Holy Spirit is like a compass that you use on a map. He gives directions and clarity in your decision making because He brings truth. That is essential for us today, folks, especially as being Bible believers and trusting the Holy Spirit of what He does in our lives is bringing truth. It says also too that in the Bible that the truth will set you free. And I think, folks, it's so essential for us to be always looking for truth and looking in the right places for truth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 puts it this way, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in all of Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." So what happens, folks, is this, is the Holy Spirit uses us to bring truth to other people. You ever had somebody come up to you, "I want to give you a word." A word is usually something when it's through the power of the Holy Spirit is an inspiration upon someone else, and that person will give us a word that the Holy Spirit speaks, and that word is usually a word of truth, a word of wisdom. Also, too, that can actually come from your spouse, especially men, from your wife. She will give you a word of truth, a word of wisdom, because the power of the Holy Spirit is working through her. And I know it is essential in our lives to always be functioning and moving and being based upon truth. Here's the third one. The Holy Spirit uses me. All of us want to be used by God by the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We always like to pray, "Holy Spirit, help me to see in the Spirit so I can be used by you." And this was interesting. My wife and I, we purchased a small farm up in New Sharon. And we began with just a small 50 acres. And we're just thankful for our good friends up in close to Des Moines, John and Kathy, for helping us to find this small farm. And we just really, really enjoyed it. But when my wife and I, we got there, one thing that we prayed about is that we wanted to be used and to find a church in New Sharon that God could send us to. Now, interesting, we were going in, and I've shared this story before, but I think it's worth saying. I remember going in, we went into a local grocery store, which also is a small restaurant. And I just happened to be asking the question, what are some of the good churches that you would say is a good church to go to? I'll never forget this. My good friend Earl said to me, "Mike, you should go to the Lighthouse Church. That is the place where they got new couples coming in, and I really think that would be good for you to go." Now, at that time, this man was not going to that church. He was going to another church in town, but now he is part of our church at Lighthouse Church, and it's just exciting what was happening. But we prayed about that. We wanted to be used, and obviously, the interesting thing that happened while we were there, the pastor that was once there, he put in his resignation and then moved on to another area. And at the short term, for me, as far as helping the church, I am now part-time pastor at the New Sharon Church. And I love it. I want to be used by God. And I feel like the Lord has given me a way of speaking and also speaking truth. And I just want to be used by Him. And both my wife are in that very place. See, it says this in John 15:26. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me." See, I often hear people say, "I want to be used by God. I want to know that I have purpose in my life." See, when you ask for Holy Spirit's help, He will give it to you, and He will give purpose in your life. He gives purpose to your marriage will have purpose. Your job will have purpose. Raising your kids will have purpose. Even in retirement, you will have purpose in your life if you simply ask Holy Spirit to use me. And I find it so interesting when people get in between jobs or they'll get in especially into retirement, especially with men. What does God want to use in me now? Because what's the next chapter? Because they have now walked, they have now left from the workforce and now they're sitting in retirement. I think it's essential that God wants to use us even in retirement and doing different things in our lives. It says this in John chapter 16, verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. See, the Lord, Holy Spirit, he does that, doesn't he? He in regards to sin, he brings righteousness and judgment in his life. That's how he uses us. Here's the fourth one. The Holy Spirit convicts me. Great parents correct their kids, don't they? When you are a parent and you're disciplining your kids, it brings discipline and order and boundaries, all because you love your children. A parent corrects because of the love of the children and they want to do the right thing. That's essential. I'll never forget a long time ago when I was a young boy. And we lived in Des Moines at the time, and my parents, and one time I was with my mom at the grocery store, and there was a candy bar that I wanted. And I asked mom for it, and mom wouldn't buy it. She would not buy the candy bar for me. I'd already had a bunch of stuff. Obviously, she was doing it for a purpose and a reason. But what I did, I took the candy bar when my mom wasn't looking and put it in my pocket. And this is what happened. We get home. And we get out, and then mom notices that I have a candy bar in my pocket. Man, did I ever get in trouble. I got the correction without a doubt. Did I get a spanking? Absolutely. I deserved it. Now, this is also what my mother did because the discipline was important in the story. She then took me back to the grocery store. She then made me take money out of my piggy bank and pay the woman, the cashier, for the candy bar. And also, I had to ask for forgiveness to the woman at the cash register. I guarantee you, folks, I never made that mistake. I never did that ever again. But see, that's important. That was correction. That was a good thing. See, it says this in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and that leads me along the path of everlasting life. Lord, show me the blind spots in my life." That's what I ask. Lord, show me the blind. How might I hurt people or the ones I love? I have a situation with an employee that was working for us, and he parked he was late, and I was mostly frustrated by that, but he parked in front of trailers and one of the ones I was wanting to use. I tell you what, I called him up and I let him have it. Full throttle. I tell you what, I'm ashamed about how angry I got. It was like a cup of the last drop of water into a cup, and it simply overflowed, and that's exactly what happened. But after that was over, the next day I called him in. I said, "Hey, I just want to let you know I was absolutely wrong. I said I was wrong in how I handled it with you and the words that I spoke. I ask you to forgive me." And what was cool, instantly we did, we grabbed each other, we hugged as men, and we went on. But that was good. It was an important piece for us because it says this in John 16, 13. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide me in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." And that's what the Holy Spirit does when he uses it. Here's the last one, number five. Holy Spirit guide me. God wrote a great story for your life. God has a plan for your life, and God has a destiny. And in the journey, he will guide you along the path. All by the Holy Spirit asks is that you will give him the pen to write the story. I have a good friend of mine. I'm going to keep this really, really brief, and his name is Andy. I'll never forget when Andy told me his story. He's a first-generation farmer, and he actually came from Lampson Trailer Park. And the very day that he graduated from high school, his mother told him that now you are on your own. He was He was out the door. He had to find a place to live. He told me he went, spent a lot of different places going from basement to basement to people who would allow him to live. He said he ate a lot of cans of corn and bean and it was hard, he told me. But this is an interesting thing. But he let God write his story. And now today, my good friend Andy is a first generation farmer. He has farmland up in my neck of the woods where I live. He has a wife. He has three beautiful kids. And the Lord is using his story. God is using him because he wants to obey what God does. It says this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this way, walk in it. See, folks, that is the Holy Spirit. He whispers our cares and keeps us going in the right direction, which way to go. We serve a God, folks, who speaks, who is not silent. The same God who spoke to Moses in the wilderness speaks to us today. A Father in heaven that sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven who sits on the throne ruling and reigning, and he has his only begotten Son sitting on the right hand, which is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit moves upon the church and the people, directing paths and direction. See, folks, that is who the Holy Spirit is. He guides us. He does all those things and shows us the way to go. But maybe this morning you've never heard who Holy Spirit was and how he can work in your life. Today can be that day, folks. Allow Holy Spirit to work and control and give you direction of your life. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and talk about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just pray even this morning that people who are listening might get a little bit better understanding of how you work. That you are a third person of the triune God. You're not an it, you are a he. You have a masculine portion of who you are, and you speak to all people, both men and women, all races, around the world. You've come to be the comforter, the advocate for the church. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for sending the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Father, for sending the Son and the Holy Spirit. What a great day it is today, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for loving on us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking into our lives. We love you and we praise you. In your precious holy name, we pray. Amen. Folks, you're going to not want to miss out on these next 4 weeks about Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We're going to see how the Spirit works in our lives and how the misunderstandings and see exactly how he works. It's an exciting time. You're not going to want to miss it, and see how the Holy Spirit is an advocate and a comforter to our lives. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.